Hello, everybody. Hello again to another week of our study group. Let's begin our call, as usual, with a period of turning within. I'm just beginning by taking a nice breath in and out. And bringing your mind to your willingness. To your sense of willingness within. And this is our willingness to see differently. This is our willingness to turn to the Holy Spirit no matter what. And this is our willingness to open our minds and have an experience of divine love. So imagining yourself offering that willingness to the Holy Spirit and trusting that the Holy Spirit will use even just our tiny willingness to still exchange all of our fears for miracles. This holy instant we give to you. Be you in charge, for we would follow you, certain that your direction gives us peace. If we need a word, a thought, or a tranquil, open mind, these are the gifts that Holy Spirit gives. And we gladly place Holy Spirit in charge tonight by our request. With the love in your heart and light in your mind, taking another nice deep breath in and out. And coming together in our perception of right here, right now. Alrighty. I'm excited to dive in tonight. So if you have the CE, the Circle of Atonement edition by Course in Miracles, if you have the CE edition, which is the complete and annotated edition by the Circle of Atonement, we're on page 735, and the subheading is The Shift in Purpose. If you have the Sparkle edition, it is page 562. The subheading is Specialness and Salvation. If you have the Original edition by Course in Miracles Society. It is chapter 24, part 5, again called Specialness and Salvation. And last but not least, if you have the Foundation for Inner Peace edition, it is chapter 24, part 4, and the subheading is Specialness versus Sinlessness. All righty. Here we go. So my subheading in the CE is The Shift in Purpose. Specialness is a lack of trust in anyone except yourself. Faith is invested in yourself alone. Everything else becomes your enemy, feared and attacked, deadly and dangerous, hated and worthy only of destruction. Whatever gentleness it offers is but deception, but its hate is real. In danger of destruction, it must kill, and you are drawn to it to kill it first. And such is guilt's attraction. Here is death enthroned as Savior. Crucifixion is now redemption, and salvation can only mean destruction of the world except yourself. And I'll pause there. This first sentence is striking to me because usually we think of specialness as, oh, you know, I'm better than in some way, which it is, you know, something that sets you apart from others. But this is saying this in a totally different way this time. Specialness is a lack of trust in anyone except yourself. And that's profound because if you think about this, specialness is a lack of trust in anyone except yourself. This is saying that every time we don't trust our brothers, we're, you know, staying in our belief system of specialness. And what I mean, I'm not talking about trusting the ego in another, but trusting the truth in another, you know, trusting that light that is deep, deep down. And I think of the spiritual teacher, Peace Pilgrim, and one of her stories where she, there's two that come to mind, but the first one that popped in was a man who she knew was going to hurt a little girl. She saw it coming. He was coming at this little girl, and Peace Pilgrim just stood right in front of the little girl. She intercepted and stood in between them, and she just looked at him with love. She just looked at him with pure love, with no anger, with no fear, and she said it literally disarmed him. He just was disarmed. He turned around, and he walked away. So that is the trust that I'm speaking to, that trust of being able to reach that spark of good in another person through the Holy Spirit's vision and that love within ourselves. So specialness is a lack of trust in anyone except yourself. Healing comes from trusting our brothers, from seeing the truth in our brothers, you know, trusting the Holy Spirit in them. And then it goes on to say, faith is invested in yourself alone. So your only faith is in yourself. Nothing else, according to this thought system, can be counted upon. You know, nothing else is going to keep you safe except you. Everything else becomes your enemy, feared and attacked, deadly and dangerous, blah, 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 blah. Whatever gentleness it offers is but deception. However, its hate is real. And you know, how it goes on to say, and such is guilt's attraction. Here is death enthroned as savior. Crucifixion is now redemption, and salvation can only mean destruction of the world except yourself. That might seem extreme, but this is what the course is literal. You know, when it says things, it means them, that this is the backwards thought system, that specialness leads to these things. And so our task is always is the same thing, but to turn to the Holy Spirit. So I'll pause saying things at the moment. Is anything coming up for anybody? We'll keep reading. What could the purpose of the body be but specialness? And it is this that makes it frail and helpless in its own defense. It was conceived to make you frail and helpless. The goal of separation is its curse. But bodies have no goal. Purpose is of the mind, and minds can change as they desire. What they are and all their attributes cannot change. But what they hold as purpose can be changed, and body states must shift accordingly. Of itself, the body can do nothing. See it as hurt, and it is hurt. See it as means to heal, and it is healed. And I'll pause there. This is powerful, right? I'm just looking at a footnote. It's just another. One of the cool things about the CE is that there are a lot of statements in the course. For instance, the sentence that we just read, of itself, the body can do nothing. The footnote is a Bible reference from John. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he seeth the Father do. So it's just cool to see at times when there are references to the Bible. So again, this is another really, really powerful paragraph, that the purpose of the body is specialness, but the body can have no goal of itself. It's always the mind's purpose to decide what the body will be used for. Will the body be used for separation, in which case that makes it frail and helpless in its own defense, or can the body be used as that communication device when placed under the Holy Spirit's purpose instead, and see it as means to heal, and it is healed. So, yeah, that's a pretty big deal. Pretty big deal.
Corinne, these footnotes, 16, 17, and 18, do they all refer to the above paragraphs?
You'll find footnotes 16 and 17 in what we read last week. So it was the very last paragraph from last week, has footnotes 16 and 17. You can see footnote 18. is in this paragraph that we just read. So you just have to find the little numbers.
Oh, I didn't even notice them.
Well, we're so used to reading this and seeing the numbers.
Tiny.
Yeah, and we're used to seeing the numbers already because the sentences are numbered. So, yeah, these footnotes, you'll see the numbers at the end of the paragraph instead of at the beginning, and they're a little bigger than the paragraph. I'm sorry, the sentence numbers.
Oh, they are. I'm sorry, I didn't even notice them. They
yeah,
are so
no
tiny.
Problem.
Okay.
No problem. So this paragraph to me is actually really comforting because I, as somebody who used to struggle with a ton of anxiety, realized one day, this is sort of one of those big breakthrough moments, that I realized that I believed that the body had the power to end my life. I really believed that. And reading this, and having that aha moment, that wait a second, the body has nothing of itself. It doesn't have any goal of itself. It is the mind's decision how to use the body. And again, I'm not talking like, oh, this is Corinne's decision. I'm going to use my body to do, you know, this. No, my decision is to turn to the Holy Spirit and let the Holy Spirit, you know, I'm going to follow the Holy Spirit's path instead, in which that body becomes under that different purpose, a communication device. And as a means to heal the mind by communication. So this put me back into a place of empowerment, for sure. Questions, comments so far? Like we're good. Okay, we'll keep going. I know also, again, feel free if anything makes your head spin, you know, the course is good at doing that. So if you have any questions, you know, if I'm not addressing something that you want to talk about, please feel free to shout out. So paragraph number 3. You can but hurt yourself. You can but hurt yourself. This has been oft repeated, but it is difficult to grasp as yet. To minds intent on specialness, it is impossible. But to those who wish to heal and not attack, it is quite obvious. The purpose of attack is in the mind, and its effects are felt but where it is. Nor is the mind limited, so must it be that harmful purpose hurts the mind as one. Nothing could make less sense to specialness. Nothing could make more sense to miracles. For miracles are merely change of purpose from hurt to healing. Okay, there's some more gold nuggets in this paragraph too. You can but hurt yourself. This is italicized in my edition. And be careful what the ego wants to do with that. If you notice, again, this is where I always talk about radical honesty. If you notice any even minute twinge of guilt, the ego is getting in there. There's no guilt in this. This is meant to be empowering. Because we're doing this as a whole. If you think about it, you know, this is a shared problem of every living being in the world that we have chosen to experience a state of separation, which in the deep metaphysical teachings of the Course, that hurts us because we are saying that we are something that we are not. In other words, we are saying that we are separate from God, and we are not. So we can see this sentence, you can but hurt yourself on a very deep, metaphysical, shared level. And again, on this more sort of seeming individual level, if we have the goal of specialness, if we have that goal of separation, that comes with it the ego's script to keep us in the dream, to keep this all going. And so that's going to hurt us too, because we're thinking that we're this separate, tiny, little, alone mind, which is not the truth as well. I'm just looking at another footnote. This has been oft repeated. That was the second sentence that I read. The footnote just is directing to the other references in the course where this has been shared. So this doesn't really make sense if we're believing in the world. Like, I mean, you can think about, and I can think about an example. I remember one time years and years and years ago, I was walking with a group of friends, and one of them gave me this little tiny book of quotes. It must have been my birthday or something like that. And I just, like, flipped it open, and there were some Course in Miracles quotes in there, and I remember the one quote that I read was something like, you know, nothing can hurt, I think it was, nothing can hurt you unless you give it the power to do so. Yes, and that's funny, that's what one of the footnotes right here references. Nothing can hurt you unless you give it the power to do so. And I read that out loud, I was like, I love that. And my one friend freaked out. She was like, what? What if your house burns down? Like, nothing can hurt you unless you give it the power? And, like, really had a strong reaction. That is a perfect example of how this makes no sense to the ego. It makes absolutely no sense to minds that are focused on, you know, only specialness and not a different way. But for those who wish to heal and not attack, this is quite obvious. And now this is another interesting thing, too. Because, again, the ego can get in there and use this sentence, you can but hurt yourself. The ego can get in there and use that sentence against other people. Well, you're just hurting yourself, you know. You're doing this to yourself. And that is not kind. That is not, again, the Course is so super clear that to correct a brother, you are seeing through your own ego. So that's a mistake if we're going to use that teaching and apply it, you know, to put other people in their place. This is clearly saying, nor is mind limited, so it must be that harmful purpose hurts the mind as one. So if it's showing up in any form in our experience, you know, if another person is acting out from their ego, it's because we still are capable of that in our minds. And so we can kind of do that thing. I think, Paula, I think it used to be John Salvi in our group who used to say, you spot it, you got it. I'm pretty sure, if I'm remembering correctly, he said that a lot, unless I'm confusing somebody else, but I love that expression because if you spot it in somebody else, it's because you also have it in your mind. So if you're like pointing one finger forward, you know, there's like those three fingers pointing back at you. So it becomes an opportunity, again, whatever we see, whatever's showing up in our lives, to turn to the Holy Spirit and say, help me see this differently.
There's that the ego is constantly I notice it so much in my mind, you know, wanting to correct someone or it's just background noise. And it's like it's not really background noise, and it's important to really be aware of it.
Mm-hmm.
And
it is,
you know, and make that choice in that moment. Very often I just say to myself, I'm not doing that. No, mm-hmm. No, stop.
And that's that vigilance of mind watching, you know, that the Course is imploring us to pay attention to our minds. We need to pay attention to what our minds are doing because it can easily, if it goes unchecked, you know where it's going to go. And you know what, you know, where our experience will start to, you know, how that'll start to show up too. So that awareness that you're speaking to see it, the moment, you know, we start going down that ego thinking path and wanting to correct a brother or whatever it might be, we stop and we say, hey, Holy Spirit, help.
Help with this. You know, but it's like, the more you're getting a focus on what's actually going on, you know, that voice in your head, it's incessant. I mean, it's forever kind of banging away. And I'm like, what am I, nuts? What is going on here? No, stop.
The ego is going to try and keep trying and keep trying to come along on the spiritual journey. You know, it'll try to use these teachings to keep itself going. It's so damn sneaky. But with, again, that mind watching, that vigilance,
I have to keep reminding myself is I am not going to identify myself with that voice. No matter what it says, I'm not going to, that is not who I am.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hey there.
Hi, Mayela.
Hi. I've been reading the Harry Potter series. I just started. And I don't know why, but this makes me think a lot about, like, are you familiar with the Harry Potter?
I've not read it, but I've seen the movies.
Oh, okay. Well, they talk a lot about, like, the you-know-who. And I always think, for some reason, I've been, like, cross-referencing. I'm like, that's the ego, the you-know-who. Because the you-know-who does, it doesn't appear, the first two books, you know, it doesn't have a body or a form, you-know-who, which is the ego. Basically, it's kind of like those kind of negative, you know, kind of things about, in our psyches, like, you know, jealousy and envy and et cetera. And it's really interesting because the people that become victims are the ones that start believing the stories.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That's who the you know who then it becomes that the evil guy in the book. Mm-hmm. So it's really interesting, and I'm listening, I think about that because it is very sneaky and sometimes it's very subtle. And then when I find myself in kind of like when I get the blues, I'm like, okay, I've been feeding my mind. Now I'm in a place where I'm like, okay, now I know it's because I've been feeding my mind all this garbage, whatever garbage it is. It's either dwelling on something, attacking someone, or, you know, ruminating on an attack on me. And even just that victim stance, you know, of like, oh, this happens to me. And then before you know it, I'm like, wait, why do I not feel so well?
Mm-hmm,
and that's when
mm-hmm.
I think you mentioned it. I'm like, you know, I was like, wait, why am I kind of down and just not, mm-hmm. and you're getting kind of cynical, you know, what's going on? And it is so subtle, and it's so interesting to kind of hear it from other people, how aware, you know, you guys seem about this as well. But it is subtle, and then before you know, I'm like a different person. I'm like, wait, why am I envious? I'm not typically jealous on this, so why am I so kind of waking up depressed? That makes no sense.
That's where we can, just what you said, where we can work backwards. So when we're feeling down or blue or frustrated or anxious or whatever, that's the time to stop and say, okay, I'm going to look deeply, you know, like, Holy Spirit, show me, you know, where did I make a decision for ego. And I shared the example a week or two ago where maybe it was 3 weeks ago, but I was having a really off day. Everything was going wrong. And I was like, what is up? Like, I don't have days like this anymore. And my mind was brought back to judgment that I went into hardcore the day before. That is where it was there, I felt it, it was unchecked, and then boom, I was in the ego, you know, musty, dusty, mildewy basement. and so when we're in that place, that's the time to stop and say, okay, you know, Holy Spirit, what do I need to look at? I must have decided wrongly because I am not at peace. That page 90 in FIP prayer that we love so much, a great reset.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, that I come to that often now, Corinne, since you introduced it. Now I hear it, and it makes so much sense. And yeah, when I'm in a funk, and it doesn't happen as often anymore, but when it does, it stays. And now I know somewhere along the road, I have been feeding my ego. I've been feeding it with either believing it or by giving it more evidence of why, you know, why I am a victim, you know, quote-unquote. It takes a lot of grace, too, and self-love. And it's a skill, a micro skill.
It is. Thank you so much, Mayela. I appreciate your input. Awesome. Anybody else have any comments or questions? let's read another paragraph. So before I read the next paragraph, I just want to reread the last sentence of the paragraph we just read. Miracles are merely change of purpose from hurt to healing. And you know, I know, all of you, at some point, and maybe you don't remember it right now, but you've had that moment of feeling like crap in whatever form, you know, depression, anxiety, just frustration, anger, conflict, whatever. You had that shift, those moments when you were lifted out of that, when you shifted out of that, and it happened instantaneously. And again, if you're not able to think of any examples right now, that's okay, but it has happened. Those are miracles. Those are merely change of purpose from hurt to healing. I love that. This shift in purpose does endanger, quote-unquote, specialness, but only in the sense that all illusions are threatened by the truth. They will not stand before it, yet what comfort has ever been in them that you would keep the gift your Father asks from him and give it there instead? Given to him, the universe is yours. So given to God, the universe is yours. Offered to them, or specialness, you know, offered to the ego, no gifts can be returned. What you have given specialness has left you bankrupt and your treasure house barren and empty, with an open door inviting everything that would disturb your peace to enter and destroy. So give our gifts, give our, you know, willingness to God, and what's going to open up as we're ready is our awareness of truth. Offer to the ego, and we're going to get nothing. All we're going to get is fear. And that's going to leave us bankrupt and not happy and searching, searching, searching. Yeah. I will just read, I think this is a helpful clarification. There was a sentence in this paragraph that's kind of confusing. It says they will not stand, it's the second sentence, which I'll reread the first and second sentences and then just read the footnote for those of you who don't have this edition because it's helpful in clarification. So again, just starting at the top of this paragraph, this shift in purpose does endanger specialness, but only in the sense that all illusions are threatened by the truth. They will not stand before it, yet what comfort has ever been in them that you would keep the gift your Father asks from him and give it there instead? In other words, to keep the gift your Father asks from him means to keep from your Father the gift he asks you to give him. I felt like that was just a little helpful in clarifying that kind of confusing sentence. So our gift, giving our gift to God is what, but just turning to God, you know? Were you going to say something, Paula?
What would be an example of the gift? But then you kind
That's
of clarified.
That was the first thing that came to mind for me. I'm just looking to see if it says gift anywhere else. My eyes aren't resting on another. I'm just skimming the page even after what we just read to see if it's clarified anywhere here.
Well, I guess the gift could be love, could be...
I think, yeah, absolutely.
What
else is there?
Could
right?
it possibly be a talent that you may possess?
Well, in that sentence, it says comfort. What comfort?
Maybe peace.
The comfort. Oh, yeah. They will not stand before it. Yeah, what comfort has ever been in them that you would keep the gift your Father asked from him and give it there instead? Maybe, yeah, I'm not exactly sure, but I think the gift that we can give to God is recognition of who we really are. You know, the gift that we can give to God is our awareness that God is our Father, that recognition that truth is true and nothing else is true. We're reestablishing God as Father, you know, as God's fatherhood. That he created us. So I think if we say that as, you know, love, I think we could substitute probably a lot of words.
you know what? All of this seems so much, rings so much like just being in the happy dream.
How so?
Because it really emphasizes separation. Subtly, it emphasizes it. Because God being our Father, that's the happy dream. That's separation.
You're saying that God, recognizing as God as our Father, is separation?
Yes.
So here's a little thing. Now, I think I don't know if from a course, I think from a course perspective, if we're just sticking to the course and not to any non-duality teachings, like other non-duality teachings, the course is clear that God is constantly extending outwards. And again, this is not something that we can wrap our heads around, and that we were created by God. So I know it sounds like in our language that like Father and Son implies separation, that there's two things, but that's, I think, the limits of our languaging and our understanding, because like fractal art is, you know, you zoom in and it's the same pattern again and again. The course is super clear that God is the Father and God created us, and we have in turn extended creations. But
well, when you listen to what Ken Wapnick is saying, he actually is saying that all of that is separate. That is all still the happy dream. It's still separation. And he's A Course in Miracles teacher.
Yeah, so I have a couple thoughts about that. It's possible, and at maybe the highest level, you know, maybe the highest level, there is just one. That is very possible. I can't say, I don't know, you know, but.
That's a good answer. I like that answer.
But I want to present another perspective,
It's just that I tasted so much listening to that. You know, I just taste the subtleness of it. And that's what I kind of like, because I know it's true in what it's saying, but I know it's also not true in what it's saying. Do you know what I'm saying?
Well, I want to present just another perspective, because this is where my mind has been blown open. So I'm encouraging all of us to keep an open mind and to have a beginner's mind and to say, I don't know, because I think that's where the greatest learning can come in through experience. I think if we think we've got it figured out because another teacher has said something, we're going to get into trouble. Like, not trouble, but like, that's going to limit us in some way.
Yeah, but we see that with all the teachers, though. We do that with all the teachers, everybody that we listen to. Because when you share the insights that you've gotten from other teachers, it's still the same thing. And I think what it is when you talk about the actual experiences that Corinne has had, because you're not talking about now what another teacher has said.
Right, exactly.
You're actually talking about what has happened to you from experience. And I've heard you say time and time again that what you're waiting for is for Corinne to leave. And when Corinne leaves, there is no Corinne pleasing the Father or anything with the Father, because all there is just you, your true nature.
And that's where, now I know you, Meg, can speak from your experience. You've had some very profound experiences of oneness, which I encourage you to honor and listen to. Can I finish my thought about blowing my mind open?
Please do, Corinne. I'm sorry if I interrupted you.
No. It's okay. No, I'm just asking if I can, like, present another perspective is what my question is. Robert Perry, who's the lead editor of this purple book, keeps directing people who are listening to him to come back to what the course is actually saying on the page. That sounds like something really small, and yet that has been something that has been like, I'm going to curse, so if you have a child around, close their ears. Holy shit.
Okay.
It actually says this, like, here on the page. I'm just going to say what he has said. Now, Ken Wapnick has made an incredible contribution to the course community. There are people who say that he is the only one and greatest teacher of the course. There are other teachers who teach that. So be it, you know, whatever. Like, do whatever you feel called to do. But what Robert is saying is that he feels that there are some interpretations that Ken has given that actually are not based on what the course actually says on the page. They've been maybe from Ken's experience or his thoughts about what the course says. And so that has brought me to have this beginner's mind, to keep bringing my open mind back to what the words actually say on the page. And Robert Perry is of, now again, he could be coming from his own interpretation. He says that God is like a formless being that is everywhere. So, of course, we can't comprehend that because we immediately think it's a person. And that we are a creation of that, and we are also formless and, you know, everywhere, but the Father came first. So thinking of God as a formless being that loves us and, like, actively, like, wants to be with us and misses us because we've put fear up and blocked that channel. The Course says that God was aware that something happened, and that's why God instantly created the Holy Spirit to still be able to talk, you know, to have access to the sleeping sons. And so I'm just saying this as an example, that that all of a sudden I had this, like, love of, like, this intense burning love for God that I've never felt before in terms of thinking of God as more, like, abstract. So anyway, all that to say, let's just come back to what the page says, and let's all just keep an open mind.
Cool.
Thank you, Meg. What's that?
I said, that sounds good.
Yeah, right? I love the beginner's mind.
Can I just say something about all this?
Sure.
Hi, I'm Jana. And I haven't been able to be on the call for a while, and it's so good to be on the call tonight. And I'm just going to put just a little spin on this because I keep going to this. I was a preschool teacher for years, and I also am a mother of a now teenager. But I remember learning in my classes and then also with my daughter, a teacher telling me in second and third grade that a child cannot grasp the concept of 10 and the concept of counting in units until they're ready to understand it. Now, we've all passed that, and it's very easy for us to get that grasp, but there was a time when we could not until we had developed mentally to make those dots understand that. And in my understanding of the course, that keeps coming back to me frequently when I'm not understanding something, because I find so often that I won't understand something and I will just keep rereading it, and I won't understand something and I will just keep rereading it, and then all of a sudden things start lining up and start clicking, and words that made no sense to me, all of a sudden, the door opens a little bit more, and I think so much of our learning, certainly mine, is exposure, and I also study a lot with Earl Purdy, and he talks about how to analyze the Course in Miracles is kind of paralyzing because the ego gets in through through analyzing, that you have to almost go into the ego mindset in order to analyze. Whereas if you read the words and just keep reading the words, the course is circular. It's not linear. And it comes back and it repeats that thought in a different way, and then it comes back and repeats that thought in a different way, and pretty soon the dots line up. And
I love it.
You know, when I'm ready to actually understand those dots, just like a child is ready to understand the concept of 10, it clicks.
Yeah.
That has occurred numerous times. When I read especially in the text, it's like, what? And then I have to go back and reread it. And then all of a sudden it'll be like, how come I didn't understand this? This is so obvious.
And the other part that I want to say,
oh, go on.
If I could just say, as far as, I don't know if anyone else has had this experience, but I've had this experience time and time again, that when I'm, when my inner teacher, the Holy Spirit, is really wanting me to understand something, and this is repeatedly, I get it from numerous directions. I get it from the Course in Miracles. I get it from someone saying something. I get it from a speaker that I'm listening to on YouTube, or I'll read something, or it comes in so many different forms. It's like I'm in the classroom, but I'm in multi different labs. And it's like, okay, I'm getting it. I'm finally getting it. Yay me. Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
I tell you, Saturday morning something was really bothering me. And, of course, page 90 came to mind. I must have decided wrongly. So I opened the book to page 90. I've got it memorized, but I wanted to just read it. And I thought, gee, I wish this could be, this thing that's bothering me could really be addressed even more. And I swear to you, on the next page, I got in kind of, not a voice that said it, but it was like direction, read this paragraph, because I was going to open the book anywhere. And it was like, read this paragraph on the next page. And I'm telling you, it was miraculous. It was exactly what I needed.
That's awesome.
It was really awesome but I can't tell you, it was like a feeling or some kind of motivation that where I couldn't turn the page. It was like, read this paragraph.
I love it. And I just want to make sure, was that Janice or Jenna? I just want to make sure I had your name, that I heard your name right. I know you've been here so many
Jenna,
times.
Jenna, like banana, Jenna.
Okay, good. Jenna. That's what I thought when you've been here before, and I was like, wait, did I just hear Janice, and I had it wrong the whole time? So,
yeah.
Jenna.
I'm outside,
thank you.
I have it muted because I don't want the wind to interrupt us, so it takes me a little while to get back on. But,
no problem. I just wanted to thank you for what you said, because it's a really, really spot-on, valuable contribution, and I love that idea. You know, a child cannot grasp that concept of 10, or whatever, counting, whatever it may be. That's where I love staying, you know, with that open mind. And what you said and what Paula said and what I know so many of us have experienced before with this book, I'll have underlined a sentence years and years ago, and then I read it as if I'm understanding it for the very first time. So, yes, it's absolutely that circular thing. But I'll just add one more thought, and then we're going to read the last two paragraphs. Even with my experience, you know, that I've had, I've just been coming into this place of still, like, not even, like, clinging to it, you know? Like I know it can go further, it can go deeper, and just, that's just my willingness. So I'm hanging on to nothing.
Can I say one thing?
Sure.
What I really enjoy about this call is that everyone speaks from their own level, and they speak with love.
Yeah, me too, and, Meg. I really appreciate
that. I enjoy that. There's no,
I do too, and I want to just add to that, because there are study groups out there where it's like a big course debate and what it says and rah, rah, rah. And so whatever, like it says what it says and let's just move on and just be where we are. So thank you for saying that, Meg, because it's really, it means a lot to me.
Continue.
Okay. We have two more paragraphs. We're going to finish out this section tonight. Long ago, we said, consider not the means by which salvation is attained or how to reach it, but do consider, and consider well, whether it be your wish that you might see your brother sinless. You know, I'm smiling. I just have to stop here because we don't need to debate anything. This says it all. Not that we're debating, but like, is it your wish to see your brother sinless? Like, that's it. I have to read the sentence again. Consider not the means by which salvation is attained or how to reach it, but do consider and consider well whether it be your wish that you might see your brother sinless. To specialness, the answer must be no. A sinless brother is its enemy, while sin, if it were possible, would be its friend. Your brother's sins would justify itself and give it meaning that the truth denies. All that is real proclaims his sinlessness. All that is false proclaims his sins as real. If he is sinful, then is your reality not real. Wow, if he is sinful, then your reality is not real, but just a dream of specialness which lasts an instant, crumbling into dust. Oh boy, so this is where the rubber hits the road. This need be our concern. I will read the footnote because this is what we read previously in chapter 20. It said, your question should not be, how can I see my brother without the body? Ask only, do I really wish to see him sinless? Do I really wish to see him sinless? This is it. This is it. And let every, you know, grudge and guilt and anything that we might lay upon a brother, you know, let us see that and let us take that to Holy Spirit. Does that strike anybody as profound as it does to me? I know we got all excited about that when we read it initially, and I think we talked about it even last week a bit.
Are we also, I mean, could this also be read as, do we see ourselves as sinless?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's where it hit me profoundly is, can I really see myself as sinless?
Yeah, yeah. I want to share something because I shared this on my Wednesday night class last week, and I want to say it again, that Jesus in the cameos in the back of this book, let me just see if I can find it, says to Helen, it is in cameo number 3. He says, here it is. I knew I'd find it. Jesus, this is Jesus talking to Helen. And so imagine that this is Jesus talking to you. I told you I forgave you, and that meant all hurt and hate you have ever expressed is canceled. I told you I forgave you, and that meant all hurt and hate you have ever expressed is canceled. That is absolutely, absolutely gorgeous, and exactly what you just said about this sentence that we just read applying to our sinlessness as well.
And that applies to us too.
Absolutely.
Because when I read that, I was just reading that earlier, I thought, this is the ego. Popped right in there with, oh, well, that's just Helen. He's just saying that to Helen. That's what it applies to every single one of us.
Yeah, it really does. And that's where I just love these practical examples from Helen and Bill, which, of course, understandably, they didn't want to publish back then. I wouldn't have wanted to either. But we're ready for it now, and you know, we're ready to hear these examples because they're examples that show up in our lives as well.
Was this just recently published, Corinne? How long is this? How long is this CE edition?
This I think it came out a year ago. But before this, the Urtext was out, so there was some of this out already. But this is the most complete because of Helen's shorthand notebooks.
Wow, it's amazing.
I agree.
Corinne,
so let's read the last.
Can you just, this is Jan again, since I apologize, I missed the first part of the class.
No problem.
But it sounds like what you're talking about is a certain, I'm not familiar with what you're talking, I mean, that is so powerful. I want to have access
to
read it, but
it's
I'm not
so
sure
good.
What it is.
I, like, could jump up and down with excitement over this book. It is the complete and annotated edition of A Course in Miracles by the Circle of Atonement. It's a purple book, so if you just go to Amazon and either type in Circle of Atonement or complete and annotated edition of A Course in Miracles, you'll see it. It's got a purple cover with gold letters.
And
so it's our
Circle of Atonement. Okay.
Yes, they're the publishers.
That is so powerful.
Isn't it? It's like, I don't have words, but it is, you know, the course as we know it, but the restored, everything that was edited out, basically, is what's been put back in.
Could you read that one more time? And I'll just be very vulnerable. I'm in right smack dab in a lab of forgiveness. And then, you know, this whole thing, I'll have to listen to the audio, because I'm able to, just like the unit of the 10, I'm able to understand forgiveness in a way I've never understood it before. So the inner teacher is going, you know, I've got kind of done a belly flop into this deep pool, and I'm learning it, and it's like, okay, this is speaking to my classroom.
I hear you. I hear you. I'm there too. I'll read the sentence one more time. And so anybody who has a CE, this is on page 1702. So 1702. The sentence is, I told you I forgave you, and that meant all hurt and hate you have ever expressed is canceled. I told you I forgave you, and that meant all hurt and hate you have ever expressed is canceled. It goes on to say, I need the children of light now, and I am calling you to be what you once were and must be again. It's gorgeous. Did you get it, Jana? I'm assuming, I know you're on mute, so I'm assuming you're good. Okay, last paragraph. Do not defend this senseless dream in which God is bereft of what he loves and you remain beyond salvation. Only this is certain in this shifting world which has no meaning in reality. Again, I want to read that one more time. Only this is certain in this shifting world which has no meaning in reality. When peace is not with you entirely, and when you suffer pain of any kind, you have beheld some sin within your brother and have rejoiced at what you thought was there. In other words, you got happy because you were right. They were wrong. Your specialness seems safe, right? Your specialness seems safe because of it. And thus you saved what you appointed as your holy Savior and crucified the one whom God has given you instead. So are you bound with him, for you are one with him. And so is specialness his enemy and yours as well. Wow. So when peace is not with you. So again, this is where now, Jana, you mentioned Earl Purdy. This is one of the things that he said, or he said many times that I just love. He's like, when the Course says always, it means it. You know, pay attention when it says always or forever or every time. It means it. It's not just joking around. So it says, only this is certain in this shifting world which has no meaning in reality. When peace is not with you entirely, and when you suffer pain of any kind, You have beheld some sin within your brother and have rejoiced at what you thought was there. So right there, we can bring ourselves, our minds back to that question. Instead of how can I see my brother without the body, ask ourselves, do I really wish to see him sinless? And as we can say, oh, well, here's how I want to crucify him. Here's how he's guilty. Here's what he did that sucked. As we get in touch with what our grudges are, you know, the all the condemnations and the judgments, we have that choice point then right there of saying, Holy Spirit, I want a miracle instead. You know, this is me bringing it. It's up to the light, and I'm giving it over to you. I don't want it anymore, because not only does it keep my brother in chains, but it keeps me bound to him in chains, you know, keeps me bound to this idea of the ego thought system that I'm not going to get out of without him. And so the way that we go to heaven is two by two, as the Course says so many times, meaning this isn't an internal solo thing that we just do in our own minds. We are literally in this world freeing our brothers through our forgiveness and, of course, of ourselves as well. And as we become free together, you know, that's how the awakening happens. That's how we all wake up collectively. And I just want to say, because I talked about this, I'll end right after this, but, I've shared over the past couple of weeks that I've been going through a very intense family situation, and that urge to make, you know, to be right, you know, when you're not at peace, you beheld some sin in your brother and have rejoiced at what you saw was there, that urge to condemn and to be right is really strong, but it can also be really sneaky and get in there in a very sneaky way. So we be vigilant for that reason. Any final thoughts or questions or comments before we go?
This was wonderful tonight. Thank you.
Right. Thank you, everybody, for your questions and contributions and for holding the space for each other for such another powerful call.
Corinne, I have one question.
Sure.
Is it possible, will you be putting, because I would love to hear the beginning part of this as well.
Yes.
This call, will you be putting it on, I guess, is it your Facebook that we can hear it again?
It's in the archive page on my website. So whenever you signed up for the call-in details, there was a link in that email showing you the page where I archive all of the study group calls. So if you can't find that, just email me and I'll forward it to you.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Yes. Yay. All right, everybody. I love you all. Thank you so much.
Love
and
you,
have a blessed
week. See you next week.
Talk to you next weekend. Bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Blessings. Good night. Blessings.